Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? And wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to the Anti-Media Radio. We are live tonight, Tuesday, May the 16th, 2017. The only show that is honest enough to tell you how screwed we really are. It doesn't matter which party is presiding over the Oval Office. It's really, 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 really in shambles right now. This is not a battle of Democrats versus Republicans, Twitter accounts of Trump against the FBI or the New York Times or the Washington Post. It's all a bunch of lies and it's all a bunch of disinformation and misdirection. We're going to get into all the news that's going on today, which is a ton between Comey and Trump. The Seth Rich story that has come out in the past 24 hours. Before we get to all that, I'm going to go ahead and bring on our co-host for the evening, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what is up?
Good evening, Mr. Gibson. How are you?
Oh, can't complain. Just sitting here. Been trying to sift through all the news that's been coming out. I tell you what, before we get into all the top stories of what has been on the tip of everybody's tongues the past couple of days, I want to bring up a couple of things. First off, within just a few hours, this is huge, huge news and positive news for once. Chelsea Manning is going to be free.
Woohoo!
So that's amazing and something I don't think a lot of people expected to happen this soon. It's what, like 28 years off her sentence. So I don't know how much coverage that's going to get tomorrow. We're definitely going to be covering it here at theantimedia.org and looking for any statements by Chelsea. But at least we're starting off the show with a little bit of good news. I'll say that.
I kind of have to wonder, though, is she going to be doing interviews? Is she going to just kind of lay low for a while? I mean, what's exactly, after going through what she went through, is she going to be really apt to talk very much? Or is that going to be one of the conditions of her release?
As far as tomorrow goes, I don't know what's going to happen, but I would assume at some point we're going to be hearing something. If not tomorrow, then probably sometime in the near future. I know they've already raised over $100,000 as a fund to go towards Chelsea. So, you know, that's a step in the right direction. And I think we'll find out a lot once it all comes out. If we don't hear anything tomorrow, you know, hey, that's fine. If I'd been in prison for the past whatever years, then I probably wouldn't.
The fact that Chelsea made it out alive is kind of miraculous to me. But of course, we'll go down that rabbit hole a little bit later with a kind of a similar story if you get down to it.
Oh, very, very certain. And the other story that I wanted to touch on too tonight is not a positive story, but is nonetheless a story that does deserve everyone's attention, and of course is not getting it because, of course, Trump.
Now, Russia as well.
Whatever it is. But there have been U.S. airstrikes, of course, again, on a border town in Syria the day before, killing at least 30 civilians. U.S. airstrikes, 30 civilians. In the past week, at least 87 civilians have been killed by U.S. and coalition airstrikes.
Civilian, that's code word for like ISIS commander, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's people that have nothing to do with any of this whatsoever.
None. Right.
Innocent people.
So just in the past 6 days here, we've had at least 87 people die from U.S. bombs, civilians. And, of course, it's not getting anything in the press. Why would it? You know, that we all know why. But we have to remember what our foreign policy is doing, the barbaric nature of what's going on overseas. It's unfortunately a bunch of lies, and it's a bunch of looking the right hand so you don't see what the left hand is doing. We actually, to kind of show in the past how this comes and plays itself through, right now the top story on the antimedia.org is Condoleezza Rice admits another lie about the Iraq war. And basically, she was talking to the Brookings Institute. It was last Thursday, and she said that they didn't have the intentions of to bring democracy to Iraq, that they went there specifically to overthrow Saddam Hussein. She also said that they didn't go into Afghanistan to bring democracy. They went there because of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and 9/11, yada, yada, yada.
Well, it was kind of a democracy if you think about it, except the problem was is that there was only one person allowed to vote, and that was United States of America. We voted no Saddam, so that's just the way that works. See also Muammar Gaddafi. We're actually watching a documentary on him tonight before the show started.
Remember, though, what was said, that we were going over there to stand up for democracy, that we were bringing freedom overseas.
Well, no. Now, let's remember the very first reason that we went there. The very first reason is because, obviously, Iraq had to have something to do with 9/11. They're still bitter about us kicking their butt. The last football game, which is exactly what this is played out like, a bunch of people talking about football.
Well,
you know, we're talking about, I mean,
was the weapons of mass destruction, and that was a lie.
And
when that fell through, they said, well, they needed this. We're going to bring them freedom. That's good. And then, you know, of course,
the people are crying out for it.
Certainly. And more lies spewed by our greedy, resource-hungry United States government. And, of course, it's not just the United States government, but they are kind of spearheading the Western coalition of what's going on in the Middle East, and our tax dollars are funding it. And nothing positive is coming out of this. Now,
well, you know, look, even going on what her quote, because this is what she was quoted as saying, we didn't go to Iraq to bring democracy to Iraq. We went to Iraq to overthrow Saddam Hussein, who we thought was reconstituting his weapons of mass destruction, who we knew had been a threat in the region. It was a security problem. Okay, well, but I'm still trying to figure out, and this comes up, you know, when we talk about North Korea, why all of a sudden do we get to decide who gets to have a nuclear bomb and who doesn't? I don't get that.
Well, we,
you know, certainly we weren't friendly with Pakistan until they snuck around and got their bomb and then surprised the rest of the world, and suddenly we're friends with Pakistan. Remember that? Remember when we didn't like Pakistan so much?
Well, that got sorted out once they got a bond.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Friends helping friends. And, of course, now that friend actually snuck around and bought himself a instead of going through the normal arms dealers, they snuck around the block and learned how to make their own gun, essentially, is what happened there.
Basically.
And so now suddenly America is in the – and, of course, Pakistan, who was not friendly with the United States at the time, they have their bomb. They're allowed to defend their country just like I think every country should be able to. I mean, you know, it's the same thing when we talk about arguments for the Second Amendment here for American citizens, I think should apply to like everybody else in the rest of the world. If your neighbor's got a gun, there's no reason you shouldn't have a gun.
Well, we all know how that goes and who should and who shouldn't. And that's, you know, walls are bad in Germany, but walls are great on the U.S.-Mexican border.
And to be fair, North Korea has been attacking the ocean for a while now. So,
well, yeah, I guess. But I really don't want people. The big thing though that I started out with, and again, it's on the right hand side under our news. U.S. airstrike kills 30 Syrian civilians near Iraq. Just want to read an excerpt real quick. Adding to the growing civilian death toll caused by U.S. airstrikes in Iraq and Syria, the U.S. has attacked the Syrian border town of Abu Kamal along the key Iraqi border crossing, killing at least 30 civilians in the process. The U.S. carried out the strikes at 3 a.m., targeting a series of apartment buildings in the town's residential area. Unsurprisingly, the apartments were full of sleeping civilians, and man, also unsurprisingly, blowing up the apartments killed a lot of them.
Can you imagine just sleeping in your bed at night and hearing a bomb go off in your apartment complex? Because you live in a multifamily dwelling. Could you imagine something like that happening?
No,
I mean, that's just not. I'm just a few survivors that were lucky enough to survive something like that. Just, I mean, wow. You want to talk about some trauma?
That is the latest in a growing number of U.S. strikes around Syria, which have killed civilians, with reports of at least 87 civilians killed in the last 5 days from U.S. and coalition strikes. All this is swept under the rug, and we're not talking about lives that are being lost because of our constant need to police the world for whatever the new reason is today. We want to talk about...
And again, if they're going to lie to you about reasons from situations past, don't think for a second they won't lie to you now.
What do they not lie about ever? People are so fascinated with Trump and the soap opera that is Donald Trump. And we're, you know, impeach, impeach, impeach. Before... Okay, obviously the big story this evening is about James Comey leaking memos to the New York Times. This is what I have to say about that. First off, it should be noted that according to...
He didn't leak them to Fox News. That's interesting.
Right.
Funny how that works.
I don't care who leaked what, because this is... This is the moral of what Donald Trump is to me. There is a professional wrestler. His name is Jimmy Garvin back in the 80s. He was in a match in the 80s, and organically in the crowd, they started yelling at him that he was a weasel. His manager overheard that there were a few people yelling at Jimmy Garvin that he was a weasel. So this was the days before there was a lot of merchandise and there weren't T-shirts and all that. But his manager got the bright idea, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to make up some bumper stickers. And on the bumper stickers, it's going to say Jimmy Garvin is a weasel. So the next week they were having their match. And he had a guy go out through the crowd and sell these bumper stickers. A couple of people bought them. And this guy, he's holding one up screaming, you know, Jimmy Garvin's a weasel. And he's holding up this bumper sticker. So the manager sees it and he runs over and he grabs the bumper sticker from the guy and he rips it up. and he starts yelling at security to throw the guy out of the building where they're having the wrestling match. Of course, him screaming, he ripping the sticker up and screaming for security to haul this guy off. The result is people run up to the guy in the crowd selling the bumper stickers, and they sell out of the bumper stickers. The moral of the story is the guy that you think you're yelling at that, oh, he's a weasel, you got suckered, and you just did exactly what they wanted you to do. You fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. That's what's going on with Donald Trump. You're buying the bumper sticker because they ran over and ripped it up, and now you're just emotionally reacting, and you fell in line exactly how they played it for you. The guy you think is the villain is the guy whose money you just put in his pocket. That's what's happening.
Yeah, that's about the size of it. And, you know, win, lose, or draw, when Trump leaves the United States presidency, he's still going to be a rich man. And I think he'll be all the more richer for it, but, like all of them are.
But unfortunately, this isn't about the difference in that story and what we're seeing with politics is it's not about the money in politics. All these people have money. If people want to have money, there's a million different professions that they can go into. But for people that want power, they go into politics. And
trust me, if somebody's going to tell you who to be mad at, they're trying to make a dollar off of it in every single instance.
But power is the currency of politics. And because of that, it's about who's got the ear of the people and who's got the line, the control of the propaganda, who has people believing what. Now we see all this Seth Rich information resurfacing. When I first saw yesterday, for those of you who don't know, and it should be pretty common knowledge by now, is that the DNC staffer Seth Rich, who was murdered last summer in Washington, D.C.
As the police described it, a botched robbery attempt gone wrong.
Well, a robbery attempt means something's taken off the person. And if you look at the actual police report, it lists the incident as a murder. The police report never mentions anything about a robbery, despite what the media and the politicians tell you. The actual police report does not mention anything about a robbery. It just says murder. And plus, there was nothing taken off of him. So that's, you know, this whole robbery business is just, unfortunately, you know, it is conspiracy because there's nothing to back that up, especially considering he wasn't robbed in any way, shape, or form, except of his life. So it's been pretty apparent that through the inner workings of and the words of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, that it seems pretty apparent that he was the leak for a lot of the material that WikiLeaks dropped before the election.
No, he wasn't. No, that was Russia. Don't be trying to spread fake news up here.
And see,
that was Russia. I heard it was Russia. Hillary said it was Russia. Podesta said it was Russia. CNN said it was Russia. Russia, 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 Russia.
And yet, they've been spewing this Russian nonsense since right before the election, and yet there's still no proof of any of that.
Assange, to his credit, has not said that it was Seth Rich. In fact, he's been very tight-lipped about that.
Well,
Assange has been on record as saying it definitely was not the Russians.
He's definitely said that, but he's offered a reward to find the killer of Seth Rich. He also said that he goes to every extreme to protect the identity of his sources, and also said when discussing the death of Seth Rich that these are the, basically him being murdered is these are the risks people take to leak things to not only WikiLeaks, but just in the case of Snowden, who did not go the route of WikiLeaks, being killed is still, you know, a risk that was presented to him. Unfortunately, that's the nature of being a whistleblower in the 21st century, really forever, but especially now when there's so much information out there and they try to protect everything. Of course, the biggest weapon against information is disinformation. So you do see stories like Russia. You do see Trump just being a complete sideshow. Everything about Trump is a sideshow. It is the biggest distraction that the establishment could ever want. And that's why I told the story a minute ago, about ripping up the bumper stickers. It's what it is. It has you looking in one direction while they're getting away with exactly what they want to get away with. Tomorrow you have Donald Trump, who is going to meet with Saudi royalty. We know, speaking of Hillary emails, because how many times have you seen this quote? I don't know if you've seen it, Shannon, but it's definitely been going around with hashtag but her emails, talking about Hillary. Yeah, this is what we know from but her emails. Amongst many, many things, we know that the same people that funded 9/11 and ISIS also funded Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, and Donald Trump's going to be meeting with those exact people this week.
No. You're mistaking somebody else for Russia, because Russia is the only foreign country that has influenced American politics. Come on, Dave. You're really reaching tonight.
And that's what's so sad is, you know, that's the narrative that's put out there.
And people have stuck and clung to this narrative no matter how much proof and mountain of evidence it suggests that it is definitely not Russia. There's absolutely no, not even just a sliver or shadow. There is no evidence whatsoever. None, period, zip, zilch, that any of the WikiLeaks had anything to do with Russia. We knew what it was right off the bat, and then the Seth Rich murder happened, and okay, well, yeah. But yeah. Again, though, this isn't common knowledge. This is more of that, and even I've read a couple articles. I actually read quite a few different articles from different places about this very same story, and it was very funny to see a few of them kind of suggest that this was still a tinfoil hat conspiracy.
It still is.
Are you kidding me?
They're still spouting that tonight, Shannon. There are people out there right now that are jumping on this bandwagon that the Seth Rich thing is still nothing but conspiracy.
Bear in mind, if this had anything to do with the GOP, oh, you bet your ass CNN would be running absolute 24-hour coverage on it. They'd have cameras everywhere. They'd be all kind of experts. Everybody would be calling for Trump's head because obviously Trump should have known something about it. And look, I'm not even saying that Hillary did know something about it, which obviously we know that she did.
She may not
suppose for a minute
directly.
That she didn't. It is still absolutely sinister what the DNC tried to pull with not only just, you know, what we found out in the leaks about what they did to Bernie Sanders, but now what was the one word that Justice Scalia in his death? Wet works. And this right here, as far as what happened to Seth Rich, is the clear definition of wet works and how it's done efficiently, because there's absolutely no evidence of any kind, at least forensic evidence. And if there is, if you go on and read the story, the local police, the DC police, have already been quietly off record as basically saying that they were told to stand down. We don't know who they were told by, but it was somebody a lot higher than just the chief's office.
Look, only somebody with their head stuck in the sand that's been completely brainwashed by the system is going to see anything.
And that's a vast majority of the American public. That's the ones that are still waving their flags and
this
and
isn't even about waving
shutting this story out and are solely focused on the Trump circus and fiasco, because they want to see that football team that beat them right there down the wire. They want to see that football team go, and then they want to see their football team back up in there.
Yeah,
and people don't realize, okay, yeah, we'll get rid of Trump. We still have a Washington company man ready to take his place. In fact, a lot of people are surprised he hadn't already taken the reins now.
And the difference
Trump
is
on vacation a lot, though, so I will throw that out.
Okay, good. I hope he stays on vacation because
the next me too, man. Seriously.
Last time.
Because the same stuff is still getting done regardless of whether he's going to be sitting in the chair or if Hillary was sitting in the chair, or Bernie was sitting in the chair, or God, I even hate to say it, Rand or Ron Paul sitting in the chair. The same policy Bush's fifth term was still going to happen.
I don't believe in any way, shape, or form if Ron Paul is the president that he would be carrying out what's happening at the same
because
time.
Because you are still assuming that the office of the president of the United States has some sort of real power. It does not. And you
there's
know
a that. Reason. There's a reason Ron Paul was never, ever, 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 ever going to become president, too. Yeah. You have to remember that.
And it's exactly what I just said. Because the narrative has already been set, and either you follow the script or you get shot broad daylight like Kennedy and Reagan did.
But you know what? Your people right now need to realize too that they are listening to one of the few media outlets, one of the few shows that openly said that they are by far not anywhere close to resembling a supporter of Trump's, told you how untrustworthy he was and how he didn't have any business being president. But it's also the show that told you that he was going to win despite what the mainstream narrative was, despite what the polls said, despite all the garbage that was tossed around before Election Day. You have to look at the facts for what they are. You have to get away from the convoluted emotion. You have to get away from the propaganda. You have to get away from just the utter nonsense and the lies and look at things for what they genuinely are. This information is out there. It exists. And you have to know who is in position and who will benefit from the lies that are being told. And when you see the FBI, for example, and what's coming out about Comey. This is a tough situation because there's no question that that Trump is in position to lie and certainly would, but so is the FBI. And
I'd love to pick Comey's brain right now about what he thinks about the Seth Rich murder, since he's, you know, kind of out of the FBI now.
He doesn't care. This is just about Trump and Comey going back and forth right now to keep everybody distracted. They don't want anybody talking about this quote unquote conspiracy theory. They want everybody.
And that right there, what just came out of your mouth right there should be a clear illustration to anybody who's listening within the sound of my voice that this is not the little two football party situation that we have with the Republicans and the Democrats. It's completely 100% false. And they'll talk a lot of loud talk on the dais. We need to put Hillary in prison, and we need to investigate this, and we need to investigate that. But at the end of the day, nah, man. Come on, they'll throw up a smokescreen story here, or something will actually really serious will take place, and suddenly everybody, Republican, Democrat, whoever, happens to just quietly stand back. And that's what's going on with this story right here. I won't call them out by name, but even the conservative news network kind of changed their stance on the story as the day progressed, because you would figure that, you know.
Fox News completely changed their original story, and they used the exact same link. The original story came out saying that the investigator had tied Seth Rich to leaking 44,000.
And how much shit does Fox News spew about the DNC on a daily basis? Anything to do with the Democrat, anything.
They completely changed their story in the exact same link that had gone viral and was spread around. They took out most of the information and then turned it around as how the new spokesperson for the family doesn't understand how any of this could be going around, yada, yada, yada. And of course, all anybody's talking about tonight, I think you've had something like 16 Democratic Congress people come out. Everybody's calling for impeachment of Trump. McCain's comparing it to Watergate. This is what I want to know from people. And again, this is no defense of Trump. I just, you know, there's no difference from him to the next person to the next. He's as untrustworthy as all the rest. But my question to people is, okay, so you want to impeach Trump. What's going to be the result of that? What are you going to get from that? Okay, Trump won't be there. So then Mike Pence is in charge. what changes? What actually changes? The same Democrats are still going to be in Congress. The same Republicans are still going to be in Congress. What's going to change? What policy-wise is going to change? How are your lives going to be affected, other than your feelings won't be hurt quite as bad? Because what this is about is everybody's still really upset over the election, because everybody said he's never going to win. He's never going to win. He's never going to win. Well, I told you the opposite was going to happen, and that's why I'm not upset, because you're going to get somebody horrible either way. And you got the one that the true writing on the wall said was going to happen. What it's about is people, everybody that was wrong for an entire year, they're still saying all this stuff, and they're continuing to be wrong. And it's like their feelings are hurt. It's really their feelings were hurt. And so they're not going to leave this alone until he's out of office. But when it comes
perfect to example, I actually posted this story, the one that's up on antimedia.org right now, on my page, and actually had a very, very hardcore, very liberal female Hillary supporter chime in. And her answer after reading the article was, "So what? Something about Russia and Trump." And then she even went as far as to suggest that somebody should assassinate Donald Trump.
People are
on my Facebook page.
That's insane.
Yeah, I told her, "Look, I'm no fan of the guy, but I'm definitely going to stop short of assassinating anybody. Nobody needs to be murdering anybody."
That's it. But you were okay. Now think about the reverse. What if that would have been said about Barack Obama?
Oh, my God. Oh, I guarantee I would have got it reported, and I would have somebody at my front door at 5 a.m. 3 days from now.
Well,
white seats with the earpiece person, asking, hey, we need you to come outside in your underwear and talk to us for a minute, whether you want to or not.
If not you, though, the person who commented on it.
Yes.
You know? But even if that wouldn't have happened, the reaction, you would have had people jumping on there saying, "You're racist, you're this, you're that, you know, how dare you? He's such a..." It definitely boils down to everybody's feelings are hurt that he won and they were wrong. People can't understand that they were wrong. They can't accept it.
But I mean, just to have somebody that was that much of a bleeding heart liberal, and I'm talking about bleeding heart, probably has never, ever voted Republican a day in her life. And, you know, that's her prerogative, whatever. But to have somebody just come out, and she's an older lady too, to come out with that much vitriol, it's just amazing.
I voted for Stacey as president of the Kaiser Report on Twitter. That's about as far as my voting goes. And she won.
Well, I purposely did not vote. I purposely went out and registered to vote. To know that, you know, to let the establishment know that, yep, I'm going to be making a decision on this presidential election. And my decision was nobody. And nobody was a clear winner in this election. I wish this were a true democracy sometimes.
At the end of the day, it's a huge distraction. I still think Trump is the greatest thing that's ever happened for the establishment, because he is this walking distraction that people can just go on these tangents about, while there's 87 civilians killed in Syria and nobody bats an eye at it, nobody cares. You have Condoleezza Rice coming out and admitting more lies about the Iraq war, nobody cares. You have Trump to cover up a multitude of sins because that's all anybody's concerned about. He's perfect for the establishment. He's great. Now, whether that is purposeful and was by design, or it's just, you know, them seizing on the opportunity in front of them, it is what it is. It doesn't matter how we got to this point. All that matters is that we're in this position now. And that's the card that they're playing. They're using him to cover up anything they want to do. I don't personally see him getting impeached, or should I say, I won't say impeached. I don't personally see him getting put out of office as a benefit to the establishment, other than to save face, because they've been so absolutely wrong and they look completely foolish. Now, of course, impeachment proceedings would be huge, because that's all anybody would talk about constantly. That's all anybody would talk about. You know, they could start dropping bombs on Canada and nobody would pay attention to it if you had impeachment proceedings going on with Trump. It would cover 24/7 the news cycle for ever how long it took. So there are benefits to it as far as the propaganda angles go, but long term, there's going to be no difference between Trump being in office and Mike Pence or whoever else would end up being in there, whether it's you know, Paul Ryan or the Democrats winning in 2020. Right now, the Democrats have nobody to run in 2020. You see Hillary Clinton, she started some new stupid political organization. Like, is she so delusional? I know she said she's not going to run again, but that just, all that needs to end. Hillary Clinton would lose to Donald Trump in 2020. She would. She's never going to be president ever, 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 ever. And it was, they just need to get that out of their head. And Democrats, I do believe, could possibly win in 2020, but they're going to have to come up with something else. I mean, get The Rock to run. I mean, that's, you know, that's the rumor going around that Dwayne Johnson is seriously thinking about running for president of the United States. And the latest poll, it was reported, I'm sorry to say these words, the Huffington Post, but look, there was a story go up in the Huffington Post earlier today.
Dude, I can't even pull up Huffington Post on Facebook anymore. I'll see somebody will share a link, and I'll click onto it, and immediately my Facebook shuts off.
Well, your Facebook's smarter than most. But
a bit too smart.
But, you know, the joke and the reality at the same time is that this is true, is that right now the polling indicates that The Rock would beat Trump in 2020, which, you know, again, if you've been listening to this show for the past year, I've told you that this is the world we live in, and Vince McMahon's, you know, in this inadvertent back way, not, you know, he's really, but the philosophies of professional wrestling run the world. It's what's happening, and it's pure political, and it's the psychology of it, and it's sad and ridiculous and sounds outrageous, and it's a fact. So The Rock should run for president, and I think we should just get to the point where if you haven't been in a WrestleMania main event, then you're not allowed to run for president, because we're living in a post-satire era. Everything's a complete farce. Everybody thinks they know everything, and nobody knows anything. The first step to waking up and realizing what's going on in the world is to finally look in the mirror and admit and go, wow, everything is a total lie, whether it's Republican or Democrat. And you have to acknowledge that you really, truly know nothing. Everybody wants to jump on, well, I know this. Well, no, you don't. Nobody knows anything. And I'll be the first person to tell you, I don't know what's going on either. All you can do is pinpoint the lies that are being told to you and try to weed through it best you can that the lies. Nobody out there can tell you exactly what's going on. All you can look for are people that can recognize the lies, the people that are trying to lie to you, to at least get through the truth a little bit. That's why this information regarding Seth Rich, this isn't yesterday. What came out about Seth Rich was not some breaking news story. That's something that's been said for the past year, that he had connections to WikiLeaks. And it's coming from Julian Assange, which if you look at Julian Assange's record and what we know about what he's released, none of that has been lies. That's all been accounted for as legit. And the people that say that Julian Assange is this or they were lies, guess what? Every single one of those people have been caught in a lie. Now, whether you like the information that was presented to you or not is, you know, irrelevant. You have to look at who's been caught in lies repeatedly. You still have from Fox News to CNN to Donald Trump, they'll always bring up James Clapper said this, James Clapper said that, the head of the Intelligence Committee. James Clapper lied under oath. Why anybody wants to use him as some truth flag-waving official about anything is ridiculous. If it's coming from a known liar.
He's waving a flag, all right.
Yeah, if it's coming from a known liar, then it's probably a lie. The reason people don't trust Trump or believe Trump is because he's lied a bunch. And yet now,
yeah, he practically lies just about every day.
But so does every other politician. And this is what frustrates me. I don't have a problem with people talking about Trump lying and Trump this. Fair enough. But it seems like it's turned into this thing where Trump's bad and all the other politicians are good. And everybody else is just trying to do the right thing. It's just Trump that's ruined everything. Everybody else is fine. We'd be okay if it wasn't for Trump. What planet are these people living on? He's no different than the rest at all.
And that's why the same agenda has been carried out, the same agenda that both of them had kind of echoed and mirrored as far as the campaign went. You know,
I mean, it's also come true.
We still have war with Syria. We're stirring up trouble with Russia. Iran is still definitely on the table. Options are being explored as we speak. And all of this diversion and chaos. And really, at the end of the day, I think you're right. Nothing will come of this. You know, because again, what secrets is he going to give Russia that's not already in, you know, the WikiLeaks that he's already, you know, Russia's already put on the table that they did?
Do you know how many they're screaming for it? And there's so many people and the brainwashing. It's like, you know, a snowball rolling downhill that's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. How naive people are to believe that Trump is the problem. Now, is Trump the solution? No, not even kind of the solution. But he's just another symptom of the problem. He's not the problem. If you develop cancer and it spreads over your whole body, well, you may get a headache. Taking some ibuprofen and getting rid of the headache is not going to get rid of the cancer. And that's what's happening with this Trump. They just think it's this one thing. And I can't believe there's so many people that are so naive to believe. And they put on this moral facade and this pseudo-intellectualism, like they're so self-righteous that they're going to getting rid of him is going to achieve and accomplish nothing with the situation that we are in. I'm sorry. It's not. We're so far down a road. We are so screwed. This country is broke. We are bombing countries right and left. Our foreign policy is just straight up mass murder and pillaging at this point. Nobody seems to care. You have Barack Obama, who's coming out in the past couple of days and said something about how brave he was to not completely overthrow Syria. And you know, forget to mention that the man bombed 8 countries and sold over $100 billion worth of weapons to Saudi Arabia, who's blown apart Yemen. So spare me your bravery. And yet, because the media covered up for this man, and he,
you know, he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Can you believe that?
That's fantastic.
So you got to be some kind of brave to get. I mean, that's a medal, isn't it? Don't they just give medals for bravery?
He got one. Good for
him. Olympics, you know, he wasn't in the Olympics, so he must have been brave.
He must have been. But it's people believing that they're so self-important and they're so smart and they're so right that's led us down this path. We're broke. Like, people need to understand that our country's broke and our foreign policy's a mess, and people want more division. And that goes on both sides, right or left. You get it from everybody that they think the answer is more division or more finger pointing or look at this guy or look at this guy or look at that. You're the source of all my problems, whoever it is. No, they're not. You're the source of your own problems, and you're the solution to those problems. You can find it within you to change your own circumstances in your own lives. As long as you continually blame everybody else, nothing ever is going to change. And yes, there are people out there in this world that want you to continue blaming everybody else. The Democrats do it and the left, the Republicans do it and the right. They may be different groups, but it's still just a bunch of finger pointing that leads you nowhere, nowhere. And people have fallen for it hook, line, and sinker. If blaming people and finger pointing changed anything, then we should have been fixed a long time ago. But unfortunately, it doesn't. And it's more nonsense, and it's more garbage for people to buy into and to keep the distraction going. I don't understand how anybody can't see it at this point. I think there's a lot of people that feel like the younger generation, well, they're waking up to this. They've got all this information that, you know, they've grown up with the internet. They've grown up with this technology. Sorry, I don't see the younger generation being any smarter than any other generation. I see them being possibly more distracted and more dumbed down. Is that a damnation of everybody in a certain age bracket? Of course not. You're always going to have people that find their way through. You have to remember, the majority of what was the 13 colonies when the American Revolution happened, the majority of those people weren't for that. It was a strong-willed minority that spoke up and did what they felt necessary to do to break away. So what it is, it's the people that are trying to do the right thing, that are trying to get past all this nonsense, that have to be the ones to speak up. They have to be the ones that have to try to stick their head above just the noise out there. And I think the noise...
Well, you hit the nail on the head right there, because you really... There's so many different places and so much information and so many games and so many distractions and so much loud headlines that I think a lot of this younger generation is growing even more apathetic to the whole system, which is great news for, you know, liberty-minded folks. But yeah, those seeds do need to be planted. And, you know, as far as the younger generation goes, anytime you can engage in a conversation about what they think about the government, and 9 times out of 10, it's a very apathetic, I don't know, that's just a bunch of stuff, ain't got nothing to do with me. And you can really, there's so many different avenues you can take to actually start those liberty conversations. And I'm not saying that you need to try to convert, you know, whoever to whatever your political ideology is. Just wake them up to some of the stuff that we're talking about. Start questioning all of this, you know, information that's being thrown at them from every single direction. Question every single thing you hear and go out and do your homework, do some research. It doesn't take very long. And there's a, you know, if you're afraid of using Google, or, you know, you don't want to use Windows or so on and so forth, when you find out, you know, what our smartphones are doing, the conversation we had with John McAfee the other night, I was thinking about that driving home. There's just so much information out there, and we need to kind of help folks, you know, filter out a little bit of it. And the people that are really super ingrained in the quote unquote statism are going to give you a lot of flack and a lot of resistance, but you have to remain firm and let them know exactly what all of these lies that are being told. Just question, go out and look. You know, okay, well, you don't like this website. Well, go try this website over here. Why don't you cross-reference it with it and then take it all the way back to the original quote of, oh, well, gee, maybe there is something to this after all.
Well, another part to that, though, while I definitely understand what you're saying, I think a big part of that, Shannon, is, and how many times have I said this on this show, and another reason that, you know, I know I'm Mr. Negative and everybody wants to disagree with me on this, but I do say that a lot of stuff, I think it's too late. And one of the main reasons I say it's too late for a real change is because news doesn't exist anymore. And you've heard me say this over and over. News is gone. There is no news. And what I mean by that is everything is confirmation bias, because there's so much information out there that whatever I want to believe, that information exists somewhere. Whatever it is, it makes me feel warm inside and it makes me feel good about myself, so I know I'm right. I can find that information. And that's part of the reason that the election played out the way that it did. Everybody wanted to believe a certain thing. They wanted to believe that he was never going to become president. So they found that information.
So you are referring to hashtag fake news in a roundabout way.
It's not even fake news because okay, if you are a strong Republican, you've got Fox News. And we're going to not even address the internet and the multitude of independent sites. We're just going to talk
about... Yeah, don't you dare bring up Huffington Post on this show ever again.
But we're just going to talk about the major corporate news outlets on your cable TV. You're a Republican, and you've got Fox News, and you can turn on Fox News, and you're going to hear what they say, and that's going to fit your narrative. And that's what you're going to believe. That to you is fact. That to you is the news. Now, somebody else is going to turn on CNN or MSNBC, and they're going to get two totally different stories from those channels, okay? And you're going to have three channels completely contradicting each other. But to each one of the people, that's what comforts them, and that's what becomes their reality, and that becomes their truth. But that's three completely different agendas, three completely different stories. So two out of the three, or three out of the three, are wrong because they've all got a completely different story. So at that point, all of it is mute. And maybe somebody will touch on a little truth here and a little truth there, but ultimately it's all a wash because everybody's believing something completely different, and it's just about making themselves feel better because it aligns with their already preconceived thought of what they think it should be and aligns with their values, quote unquote, their values, which that's not, you know, that's a very muddied word today. But their agenda and their team winning, basically. My team's always going to be right. My team's always going to win, and their team's always wrong. And if you're an MSNBC watcher, well, everything on Fox is a lie, and they're the worst news channel ever. And if you're a Fox News watcher, MSNBC, oh, it's just all garbage. It's just all a lie.
Well, but the good news is, and you're skimming over the silver lining here, is that now Facebook and other social media entities are going to be editing what actually constitutes real news versus fake news. And we're going to see even more of that. Now that we've had, I don't think we've even brought it up, the recent spate of Facebook Live suicides, that now Facebook is going to have a round-the-clock team of human moderators in addition to bots that are actually, anytime you go to click on Facebook Live, they're going to monitor it and make sure that you're not saying anything violent or you're not going to do a violent act or something like that. They're going to kill the feed. That kind of opens up the door for even more people being on Facebook staff, checking out and monitoring just your average everyday Facebook lives. Hey, I'm in the car driving down the road and, you know, I ate some cheesecake today or something, you know? I don't like it. I don't like it. It's get it. Because again, it's all about being comfortable. It's about being safe. We must be comfortable. And in order to be comfortable, we have to ask somebody higher up than us, please make us comfortable. Please make this life more acceptable. I don't want to see any darkness. I don't want to see any or hear anything. I only want my information fed to me this way. I only want it fed to me in this tone and in this language and so on and so forth. And man, it's really, really strange. It really is to think that we've devolved as a society this quick.
Oh yeah, it's really sinking rapidly. And then you mentioned Facebook and their moderating. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything anti-media or any other independent site is just the absolute gospel, because I think people should go out there and do their own research. And I think you should use
Amen.
Places like anti-media and the Fifth Column and multiple other outlets as guidelines, but people should do their own research. But back to what we're talking about, Facebook. We have over 2 million likes, 2 million followers on Facebook, the anti-media. That equated to, we would reach between 60 and 70 million people per week. For over a year, that was our numbers. And our numbers of Facebook has slowly crept up. You've heard me talk to you about this, Shannon, how the numbers, the reach of what Facebook allows people to see has slowly gone down. Right now, we're currently reaching 3.5 million people per week. That's with 2 million followers. Every post, and we're talking every post, is reaching for a week. And we have a post go up every hour. And in a week's time, it reaches.
Yeah, I actually have anti-media set up on my newsfeed to come up first. Anytime that you guys post something and your anti-media's feed pops up on my, and I'm very active on Facebook, and anti-media pops up sometimes, usually once in a 36-hour period.
Right, and you've got it set up to see it. So
yes, see it first. And it even gives me a message when anti-media pops up, you were seeing this first, or you're seeing posts from anti-media first. And so they even brag about it. Hey, here, we got it to you. But it's like the mailman stumbling in with a hangover, bringing you a letter that was due, 5 weeks earlier.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what, Facebook is in control of the information. The algorithms are in control of this information and what is seen in the Googles of the world. But especially, so many people have abandoned the corporate outlets and have relied on social media, and they are silencing the information that they don't want out there because they want this propaganda machine and their agenda to keep rolling. They want you to be completely enamored with Trump's last tweet or this feud with this politics. It's all garbage. They don't want you to see that 87 people have been killed by U.S. bombs. Civilians have been killed this week. They don't want you to know that. They want you to argue about Trump. They don't want you talking about Seth Rich. They don't want any guilt to go back.
And that right there is why it's important that we need to speak up, and we need to try to preach to the high heavens about some of this stuff going on to the people that are just wandering blindly around, because they're only stuck in this set or this clique or this group,
Yeah. And until people get out of their bubbles and realize that they don't actually know what's happening, and they keep going down the path they're on, well, the path they're on hasn't worked out too well so far. So, why continue doing the same thing? I mean, the definition of insanity is repeating the same behavior over and over, blah, blah, blah. But that's true. And that's where we're at. People are so stubborn because they don't want to admit that they've been hoodwinked. They don't want to admit that they've been wrong. Unfortunately, everybody has been. And of course, I'm talking broadly here. There are lots of us that are trying to pay attention and trying to filter out the BS and get as clear of a view as you possibly can. It's impossible to have a perfect view of what's going on. It's like, I talk about 9/11. I don't know what happened on 9/11. I know what lies were told on 9/11. I know I haven't seen a picture of a plane at the Pentagon, but that doesn't just automatically go, well, it was an inside job. It just means we've been lied to. I can't tell you what happened.
Man, come on, dude. Iraq had everything to do with 9/11, remember?
We do. It would appear that the little information we do have is Saudi Arabia was involved, and yet Trump's going to go visit them tomorrow. So God bless America with that one. For Shannon, I am Essen Gibson. We'll be back on Thursday. I'm going to let him know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'm going to let him know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.